We're going to continue this morning with a message from last Sunday on spiritual warfare. We're going to be reading some passages of Scripture, beginning with Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be quoting some other passages of Scripture, so if you have your Bibles and if you want to follow along, you can, but we will be putting them up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We're also going to be reading from James chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, I don't know if you, I'll give these to you again as we start to read them. Ephesians chapter 6, I like to read the scripture because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally my brethren, be strong, everybody say strong, in yourself. Is that what it says? So be strong where? Are we strong? In the Lord. And it's not in our power. It's the power of His might. Amen? Then He tells us how to be strong, and in order to be strong and be involved with this spiritual warfare, what we're supposed to do, and that is to put on the whole armor of God. The reason we put on the whole armor of God, God doesn't put the whole armor of God on us. He provides it for us to put on. And that's something every Christian must do. We must put on the whole armor of God. And the thought is here is that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I think the Amplified Bible says the deceitfulness, the cunningness of the enemy. So the Bible here, he's telling us that we have to put on the whole armor of God because we have an enemy. And that enemy is very wise and wiles of the devil. He's very cunning and he's out to create worry and doubt and fear and frustration. All of those things that he can do to discourage us and frustrate us so that we'll forget to read the Bible, we'll forget to pray, we'll forget to do unto others as they do unto us, and as God tells us to do unto them. We have all of this, for he says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle. So he's telling you as a Christian, as a believer, whether you realize it or not, I know that there's a lot of people that are Christians around the world that don't realize that they're in a struggle. They need to realize that they're wrestling. They're not against, it's not the flesh and the blood. It's not your body that you're wrestling against. Although it is in our body and we have a mind in our flesh, but that's not what we're fighting against. But he's telling us that we're fighting against principalities, against powers. So that's why we need to be strong in the Lord, because we're fighting against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, and what I like to say what that word is there for, it's therefore to remind us to take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So he's saying to us right now, we're living in evil days. We're living in bad times, hard times, difficult times. Anybody that reads the news or looks and sees what's going on and understands some of the spiritual warfare and attacks that are happening in this world today with our young people and our families and so forth, understand that we are we have to be able to withstand, that we're living in bad times. Verse 14, therefore stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We don't want to be caught telling lies of any kind or any falsehoods. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So that we have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but we're to put that breastplate on. And we do that by faith. It's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. Amen? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Amen? So we are His righteousness in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. And having shod, so we've put on it. How many of you ever go barefooted and run into a sticker burr patch? You know what I'm talking about. So you need to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you ought to be able to tell the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for you and shedding His blood for you so that you can be saved. And that is the gospel of peace. And you share that with other people so they can have and enjoy the same peace that we have. Amen? And then above all of these things, take the shield of faith. Where does the shield of faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? So we have to get into the Word of God, and that's where we get our shield of faith. And that shield of faith is what we use, and you will be able to quench all, everybody say all, the fiery darts of the wicked one. So as he's throwing doubts at you, and fears, and mistrust, and frustration, and situations in your family, and in your life, and your relationships with your family, and whatever, and all of these different things, you will be able to, with the shield of faith, to quench all these fiery darts. That means they won't affect you. They will not affect you. Amen? Because we stand by faith and we walk by faith and not by sight, is what the Bible says. And 17 of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. And then we need to put that on. That means we need to understand in our minds that we are saved, why we're saved, how long we're going to be saved, and when we're saved, and what salvation is all about. That's the helmet. That's where your brain is, our head is. Amen. And take the sword of the Spirit. So faith comes by hearing of the Word, and also the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, because He says so right here, which is the Word of God. So we have to know some of the Word of God. One of the first things that I did when I became a Christian was I began to memorize passages of Scripture, and I even wrote a bunch of them down. I carry them in my Bible, and sometimes I was carrying them in my pocket, so whenever I was attacked and I had thoughts coming into my mind that I didn't want there, and I knew that the enemy put them there, I could put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit. Just when Jesus, if you read about Jesus and His confrontation with Satan, Satan even knew the Word of God. He quoted the Word of God to Jesus. Jesus quoted the Word of God to Satan. That's the way He overcame Satan. And that's the same way with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If we don't have that, it makes it very difficult for us to resist and take the shield of faith and to resist the spirit of the evil one. Then he's verse 18, he says, praying always. We pray all the time. You don't have to be praying, as you've heard me say. We can pray all the time because our bodies is a habitation of God through the Spirit. So you're washing dishes, you're cleaning your house, or you're sitting at the TV or whatever you're doing, or your computer or whatever, you can be in whatever you're doing, driving your automobile. There's a lot of times when you can be talking to the Lord, and we should be talking to the Lord. And with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and allowing the Spirit of God, realizing that it's the Spirit of God that carries our words before the throne of God. Amen? And to be rejoicing and be thankful of the fact that whenever I'm talking to my Lord, and He's sitting in the front seat with me, and I have a lot of conversations with Him when I'm driving down the highway, I can tell you, and have shared some stories with you about that. But not just talking to Him about our problems and issues, or praying about other sort of problems and issues and circumstances and situations, but also being gratitude, expressing our gratitude and our appreciation for who He is and what He does. We can ask Him to take care of things. I remember I was going down to the jail to visit somebody that was in the jail. And I was talking to the Lord. It's just like Jesus came and sat down in the front seat with me, and he was I was talking to him about what I needed to say to this person and what he needed and what the Lord wanted me to speak to him. And it was just like he sat down there, and I thought, boy, I was thinking, while he's here and I've got his attention in this manner, I said, Lord, will you take care of this car? I'd had my daughter had returned a car, and I'd had it for 3 or 4 months, and I was trying to pay for it, and I was trying to pay for 3 of them. And that was, I was really doing some prayer about that. And I said, and he knew what I, Jesus knew what, he knows what I were doing. So, and I was thinking, well, while I've got him in a good mood and he's sitting right here and I know he's talking to me, I didn't see him visually, but I knew he was there. So as he was about to leave, I said, Lord, what about this car? He said, it will be taken, as he was going out the door, he said, it will be taken care of tomorrow at noon. And brother, tomorrow at noon, I looked at my watch and that car sold. Amen. So what I'm saying is praying always in prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, so we can pray for our, we can cast our cares on him. The Bible says casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. What's the enemy using in your life right now that's concerning you, that's having you maybe overly concerned about something? We can agree together and we can pray together, and you can pray and talk to him as you're going down the highway or whatever you're doing and saying, Lord, what about this situation? Because we know that according to the passages of Scripture that we have on our prayer list, and we have a prayer list, many of you need to get a copy of that and be praying. We have a prayer list, and that prayer list says, for with God all things are possible. Amen? Everybody say this. All things are possible with God. There's not anything too difficult for God. Jesus said to his disciples, well, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen? So, he says, supplication for all the saints. So, we're praying for preservation and supplication for all of the Christians and all the believers in verse 19. And then Paul says, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So the gospel is a mystery, and the only way we can understand that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He reveals that to us. I'm just reading passages of Scripture this morning, and we'll probably get into other stuff, but we're running out of time. James chapter 4. Go to James chapter 4, verse 4. James is writing to the church, and he says, adulterers and adulteress. He's talking to church people here, people that, and it doesn't mean they may be literally in adulterers and adulteress in the flesh, but they're adulterers and adulteress in the sense that they have a God, and he's supposed to be the God they worship with all their heart and mind and soul, and they've put other gods before him in their lives, things of the world, things. And that means that's the reason he's called them adulterers and adulteresses. And so, and he explains that in this same verse. Do you not know that friendship, in other words, with the world, is enmity with God? In other words, if you put the things of this world, finances and growth and development and education and all of these things, and they are important things, if you put those things ahead of God, then that's an enemy that Satan's using in our lives to keep us from being the spiritual people that God wants us to be. Amen? He said, don't worry about anything. Isn't that what he said? That means finances, relationships, jobs, whatever it is. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So he says here, whosoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In other words, if we put the things of this world and things of life ahead of God, then that means to God, that God understands that he's not important, he's not first, he's not number one in our lives. And he can't bless us in that situation. Verse 5, He says, or do you think that the Scripture says to in vain the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? So he's telling us something there in verse 5, that if we get in love with the world and we put other things in our life that are more important than God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we grieve or quench. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit of God. So how do we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit of God? We put other things before God and we ignore the Holy Spirit and we refuse to recognize that our body is a habitation of God through the Spirit and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives and we've been born again by the Spirit of God. So when we do that, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy. In other words, he starts praying. He starts making intercessions. I felt the Spirit of God coming to my life sometimes when I was not in the, doing the right thing or saying the right thing. And he was reminding me, hey, I'm here. Be careful what you're saying. Be careful what you're doing. Amen. God will help us with that. And whatever the enemy's using, if it's finances or whatever, God, you can cast all of those issues and things on God and God will take care of them. You say, well, I've been praying for a while and he hasn't done anything. Well, just give him time. God does things in his time. And the Bible says, let patience, in James chapter 1, let patience have her perfecting work. So if our faith isn't tried, then it's not going to be strong. Are you with me? But we want to know also, verse 6, when we do fail, if we do get in the flesh, if we do grieve the Spirit, can somebody say praise God, but he gives us more grace? Amen? He doesn't give up on us. He gives us more grace. He says, okay, I understand. Please confess. Please repent. I'll give you more. I have more grace for you. Therefore, he says, God, listen, God resists the proud, but that person that's proud and trying to do their own thing, God doesn't hear, but he gives grace to the humble, those who humble ourselves. Humble yourselves before the Lord that he may exalt you in the proper season, the Bible says. Amen. Therefore, verse 7, I'm just sharing some scripture and commenting on them with us as we go along. Therefore, submit to God. In other words, humble yourself and submit to God and cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And when you do that, humble ourselves before God. Let's see what God can do. And then I want to remind you, because God will do something if we do that. And when we do that, we need to express our gratitude and thanksgiving for what he did in answer to our prayers. Amen. We should be having a lot of things to be thankful for. God, thank you for your peace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for being with me, never leaving me or forsaking me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for answering this prayer, and thank you for answering that prayer. And, you know, we have a lot of things to talk to God about. Amen? And he wants us to talk to him. We can't go through life neglecting him, not if he's our God and Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So when we submit to God, then we can resist the devil and he will flee from you. He flees from us because we're resisting him in the name and the power and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Wow. How important that he will flee from you. Everybody say, the devil will flee from me when I confess the name of Jesus and submit myself to God. Amen? He will. You don't be afraid of the devil. He's afraid of you. And the reason he attacks most of us Christians and tries to get us out of the Word of God and keep us from walking in the Spirit and all the wonderful things that God has prepared for us in his gospel and his good news and in his salvation for us is because the devil knows if he can keep us ignorant of that and make us think we need to fear him instead of fearing God, well, then he has us over a barrel. Are you with me? And so the Bible says, we're to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. I've sensed spirits in my wife and I both, spirits in our come in our home. We've asked God to put a fence around our home, but we need to continue to pray that because the enemy tries to come in and into our minds, and we have to say, I've sensed the evil one in my house, and I'd say, You have no place or authority in this place, including my body, you have, and my mind. You have no place and authority. I submit myself unto God, and I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get out of my house now. Get out of my mind now. We're talking about spiritual warfare here. Amen? He'll flee from you, but you've got to resist him. We've got to submit to God and then resist the devil. And we don't resist him in our strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? We're not resisting him in our own strength. We're resisting him in the strength of the Lord. Wow. Verse 8 of James 4. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Only a Christian can be double-minded. Are you with me? There's only two places, if I remember, in the Bible, James 1 and James 4. This is one of them where Christians are called double-minded because we can get in the flesh. Galatians 5, read it. The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. If you submit to God and draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And that's not just a one-time thing. Amen? And so we can be double-minded. We can get in the flesh. But God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 tells us to walk in the, not don't walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Verse 9. We find ourselves falling into sin and being overcome. Then he says us to lament. That means to cry. To speak out. Be sorry. Repent. And mourn and weep. Don't be laughing about the fact that you've been taken over by the enemy and that he's robbed you of your peace and your joy, and he's filled you full of doubts and fears and worries. That's nothing to be laughing about. You know, you have to be mourning, and you have to, it just says it, so you know what it says, do it. Amen? We need to do that. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you. And he, if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he will lift us up. He lifts us up. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Submit yourself out, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. He lifts us up. Amen? How many of you, don't raise your hand, but I just wonder how many of you have felt the Lord lift you up when you've been down. Just he's lifted you up. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you just praise God for that? Amen? Then, I'm just reading scriptures this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to go there. Just sharing with you because I know that there's a lot of people out there that in this world, and this broadcast goes all over the world. I get messages from different people from time to time from all over, all kinds of places because they listen to the Word of God on our website. 1 Peter chapter 5, so I know a lot of them out there don't ever get into the Word like they're supposed to, so I just felt like I needed to read these passages of Scriptures, and I'll probably spend another part on spiritual warfare because, you know, I want to say this before I get too far along, and I had it written down so I'd say it right. The Bible teaches us that we are spirit beings. In fact, God said that to the woman at the well. God is a spirit. And we are in a physical body and in this world, and we also are alive in the spiritual realm. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him. And John, this is in John chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, everybody say must, worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's what Jesus said, John 4, 22 and 23. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there's a spiritual realm. in which we all live. And it's that spiritual realm is like the air, like oxygen and nitrogen and gases in the air. We can't see into the spiritual realm unless God opens our eyes so we can see. We can't see in the spiritual realm. And that, the spiritual realm we all live in as human beings is full of beings that we cannot see. There are angels and there's demons. There's many things going on in this spiritual realm in which we live. Many such things as spiritual warfare in our thinking have control and they try to affect our daily lives. That's what we're talking about, spiritual warfare here. And actually, this spiritual realm affects and controls our lives more than we know or we understand. Just as there is day and night in our physical world, there is a light and a darkness in the spiritual realm. And a lot of people, in their ignorance, get involved with the dark side of the spiritual realm through witchcraft and horoscopes and seances and fortune telling and so on, and they don't even realize that they're dealing with the devil. They're so ignorant and so blinded by him and the god of this world, Satan, that Jesus called him the god of this world. He's blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into them and they could be saved. So that's actually the amazing thing, that they think they're in control of all of these activities and they think they control the devil and all of these things, and they're not. Satan is. I've been there. You with me? So as human beings, we are born into a spiritual darkness. We cannot see or understand spiritual things until we're born again. The Bible explains to us that when we are born again, we are translated in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we are translated out of darkness into God's dear light. The Bible talks about this and explains that there is a visible and an invisible realm in this world in which we live. The Bible also tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, that he, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He's the image. So if you want to know what God is like, Jesus said, when the disciples said, "Lord, show us the Father," he said, "Have I been so long with you and you don't know me? He that's seen me has seen the Father." So if you want to know what God's like, and you're a Christian, just go read the Word of God and see what all Jesus is doing, because you're watching God and he's showing you what God's like, because he's God in the flesh. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And through Christ, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, "For him by all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things were created by him and through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him, by him, and all things consist." Amen? That's who Jesus is. So we were reading in 1 Peter 5, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant." That doesn't just mean not be drunk. That means to be wise. Don't be foolish thinking. Don't allow foolish thinking. That means have a somber mind. Be thinking about things that are important to you. Be vigilant means watch out. Watch out! Amen. You ever heard somebody say, "Watch out, look out"? Well, that's what the Bible's saying to every Christian. Watch out, look out, you have an enemy. He's trying to destroy you, and he wants to injure you, and he wants to hurt you and destroy your family and destroy your marriage and destroy your children. Watch out! Get in the Word of God. Get some power. Get some strength. Watch out. Look out. We need to understand that. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, you're not by yourself. All Christians are in this spiritual warfare. All Christians are being attacked by the enemy. All Christians need to watch out. All of us need to be vigilant. We need to understand the devices and about spiritual warfare and what's going on. That's the reason God has me preaching this message this morning. And before I preached it to you, I had to preach it to myself. And not only did I have to preach it, I had to do it. And I'm not preaching something just because it's from the Word of God. I'm preaching something because I found out over the many years that I've lived that I can resist the devil and he will flee from me. And I do have to put off the old man and I do have to put on the new man. And I do have to enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. But that's up to me. When God called me to preach, it was like, I wanted to say, like, well, is there anybody else up there? Not me. I'm going to read one more passage of Scripture. I could read a bunch. I'm just reading Scripture this morning and commenting on it. Is that all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you may want to write this down. We're going to start reading with verse 3, and I want to make a few comments on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, so he's saying, I understand, and I want you to understand, God's saying to us, I want you to understand that after you get saved, you're walking in a fleshly body. You're living in a fleshly body. I think everybody can understand that. All right? But he wants us to understand, though we walk in the flesh, our warfare, in the battle that we're fighting, we do not war according to the flesh. It's not a fleshly battle. I can't do this in my flesh. I can't. If I'm drowning in the quicksand, if I'm going down in quicksand and I'm out in the middle of a quicksand and I'm going down and I can't save myself. Is that right? And that's what the Bible's saying. But there's someone out there that can. And if you call on him, he'll pick you up and get you out of the quicksand. Amen? Out of us. He'll get us out. I've been delivered so many times from so many different things, it's unbelievable. Because I realize I get in the flesh sometimes. Ain't to bust your bubble. Our weapon, we do not war after the flesh. We're not, verse 4. Why do we not war after the flesh? For the weapons. Christians out there, we need to read this. We need to understand this. This is written for us. For the weapons of our warfare, that's the weapons that God provides for us, are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not something we can do. They're mighty, but they're mighty in God. They're mighty in God. He gives us the power. He gives us the authority. And what is that mighty power for? It's for pulling down strongholds. All right, we're pulling down strongholds. That's what he's telling us to do. Amen? Well, what are the strongholds? Well, he tells us right here, verse 5. Casting down arguments. Do you ever have an argument going on in your mind when the enemy is trying to tell you did this and you did that and God can't forgive you and you have, you with me? So there's arguments, there's reasonings. The enemy tries to reason with us like he did with Jesus. Read Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, where Jesus was fighting with, the enemy was attacking Jesus. He attacks all of us, and not only casts down arguments, but every high thing, that is every high thought, everything that comes into our minds or into our lives, this mighty power that God gives us, it pulls down arguments, it pulls down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen? And it brings every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen? So when I have thoughts coming into my mind that I don't want there, and I realize I don't want them there, I don't like them there, the enemy's trying to put them there, and it's probably because I saw something I wasn't supposed to see on television, or what, you know what I'm talking about, or maybe I've had a problem with a finance or a bill or some bank or somebody's calling me or something's going on. The enemy's trying to worry me to death. And the enemy's trying to fill me with fear. He's using all of these things against us. And so I tell him, get out of my mind. I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no power or authority in my mind or what I think. Get out of my mind. Get away from me now. I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I have to, I start singing Amazing Grace. Whatever. Amen. Or quoting the scripture. Whatever. Get my mind off of that, because the enemy's trying to rob me of my peace and my joy and do whatever he's trying to do. And God wants us to win. He's won for us. Amen? The victory is in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen? Let's stand. That's everybody standing. We'll be dismissed. And we're going to give thanks for the food. And we have... Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for anointing us. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. We just thank you, Lord, that you're a great God and a mighty God. We thank you for your precious Son, the great Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Praise God, whom you've exalted above all things. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. I thank you on behalf of all of these precious people here this morning. I thank you for loving us all, taking care of us, and being so good to us. And forgive us for when we've been so kind of ignorant and have neglected and just kind of wandered off, not even thinking, Lord. Thank you that you always draw us back. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the food in the back and all those who prepared it. Make it a blessing to our bodies in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. God bless you.